Hey everybody, welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen and today is January 19th. Today we're going to continue in Moses chapter 6. Now it's interesting in Moses chapter 6 because from verses 12 to about 24, we get the genealogy again, right? We know that Genesis chapter 5 is just filled with genealogy, who begat who, right? And the same thing is true in these 12 verses. We're just going to kind of get this genealogy. But what's fascinating to me about this genealogy is that we follow the line of Seth, right? We go from Adam to Seth, and then it continues down that line, and we see how we have this righteous generation that comes from Seth. Now, it's interesting because in verse 15, it teaches us that Satan had great dominion among men and raged in their hearts, and that there were wars and bloodshed and secret works and combinations. People were seeking for power. So it's not like those things weren't on the earth, and it's not like those things weren't happening. But we have this line and this heritage that just stays true to God. But before we continue in Moses chapter 6, let's take a look at just a few scriptures in Genesis chapter 5. Now, like I said, this chapter is a lot of begats. It's a lot of genealogy. But here in Genesis chapter 5, we get seven scriptures about Enoch. Now listen to these seven scriptures. Some of them are meaningful, others they just mention him, but seven whole scriptures in the entire Bible about Enoch, and here's what they say. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, I'm not going to lie. In the scriptures, there are several different people that I read something about them and I think, wow, I can't wait to hear the rest of their story. For example, Abish in the Book of Mormon. She was this Lamanite-ish woman who was somehow converted and just has this incredible, incredible story. But we don't know much about her. We have a few verses that teach us about her. And she's one of those people that I think, man, I cannot wait to hear the rest of that story. Can't wait to read the Book of Abish, right? Now, it's interesting because if we only had the Old Testament to study, Enoch would 1000% be one of those people that you would read their story, these seven verses, and you would think, I would like to hear the rest of that story, please. There has got to be more to that, and it is great. Because listen, all it says is, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That leaves us with a ton of questions, which makes me so grateful for the book of Moses. It makes me so grateful for this revelation that God gave to Joseph Smith about the books of Moses, because we have more of the story now. We have more to consider and more to learn from as we study Enoch, who obviously was just this incredible, incredible man and patriarch. So let's jump back to the Pearl of Great Price, to Moses chapter 6, and we can get, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story, right? So starting in verse 26 of Moses chapter 6, it says, "And it came to pass that Enoch journeyed in the land among the people. And as he journeyed, the Spirit of God descended out of heaven and abode upon him. And he heard a voice from heaven saying, Enoch, my son, prophesy unto this people, and say unto them, Repent. For thus saith the Lord, I am angry with this people, and mine fierce anger is kindled against them. For their hearts have waxed hard, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes cannot see afar off." So there are a couple things that I really love here. First off, it says that Enoch was journeying among the people. He lived among the people. But before the calling to be a prophet came, he had the Spirit descend on him. Now, the reason why I like this is that oftentimes in our lives, we are called to do something or to go through something. And I'm not necessarily just talking about a calling, although this is applicable there too. But sometimes we are called to go through a hardship or a trial. We are called to help in certain ways. We are called to work in certain ways. And what I love is that I have found in my life that as God is calling me to something, there's usually that preparation from the Spirit that goes along with it. Oftentimes before we receive big callings, we have the Spirit testifying to us and prompting us that things are going to change or that there's a new calling coming our way. Sometimes when we're called to go through difficult things, we have the Spirit teaching us and testifying to us and preparing us for those hard things. And so I love that we see God doing that here, that he didn't just start with this call to be a prophet, but he preceded it with the Spirit to teach and to testify to Enoch. And then going on into verse 17, it says that Enoch hears this voice from heaven, and the voice says, "Enoch, my son." Now, again, where do we see that same vocabulary? In Moses chapter 1, God is calling Moses and he says, "Moses, my son." He wants us to understand whose we are, because as we understand whose we are, as we understand that we are literally God's children, it gives us strength to do as he would do. And so he starts off this calling that same way. And then he tells Enos to prophesy unto the people and say unto them, repent. Now, it's interesting because in our vernacular, oftentimes we think of the word prophesy as to predict the future or to tell the future, right? To give a prophecy. But the book of Revelations teaches us that to prophesy means to testify of Christ. Now, obviously, to prophesy has kind of a spectrum. We can testify of Christ, and that is a form of prophecy. Or there's the prophecy of knowing and understanding and seeing future events. And both are real and both are true. But it's interesting because oftentimes we don't connect the commandment to prophesy and the commandment to call to repentance in the same vein. We don't see that as being the same thing. But let's change our understanding. Let's put a little spin on this. God is commanding Enoch to prophesy. Perhaps he's not saying, hey, tell the future. Go tell the people everything that's going to happen or everything bad. Let's prophesy and tell them the future if they don't repent. Perhaps God is telling Enoch, prophesy, testify of Christ, testify of the atonement, testify of redemption. And in that same vein, cry repentance unto the people. Because my friends, repentance without the atonement of Christ, without a testimony of Christ, doesn't do us much good. It's just like we talked about yesterday, to sacrifice in the law of Moses without a true understanding of what that sacrifice is meaning, or without the atonement of Christ itself, doesn't redeem us. It's not the animal on the altar that redeems us. It's the symbolism of Christ and Christ's atonement that allows us to be redeemed through that sacrifice. And it's the same thing here, to repent without an understanding of Christ, without the atonement of Christ, does us no good. We need those two things hand in hand. And so possibly when the Lord tells Enoch to prophesy and to call people to repentance, perhaps he's saying, teach them of Christ. Teach them what Christ can do for them to redeem them. And when we get a vision of that, when we have a view of what Christ can really do for us and where we are as a fallen people, repentance should naturally follow. That testimony of Christ should drive us to repentance. Elder Renlund once taught that without the Redeemer, repentance becomes simply miserable behavior modification. But my friends, I testify that with the Savior, repentance becomes something joyful, something that brings us peace. Elder Christofferson taught that without repentance, there is no real progress or improvement in life. Only through repentance do we gain access to the atoning grace of Jesus Christ and salvation. Repentance points us to freedom, confidence, and peace. My friends, I testify that as we draw nearer to Christ, he can teach us of these areas that we need to improve and to change. And that's not a harsh criticism of us. It's a loving Savior inviting us to change, to turn around, and to draw nearer to Him. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.